Proverbs again tonight. The title of this lesson is The Anatomy of the Fool. There is a lot that is said about being a fool, foolish ways, the anatomy of the fool, if you will, in the book of Proverbs. And so we're going to look at just a bunch of passages tonight that talk about the fool. So it could be interesting. I want to start, though, with sharing with you some what we consider now very foolish statements. Popular Mechanics magazine in 1949 said that computers in the future may weigh no more than 1.5 tons. Or hear this. I think there is a world market for maybe 5 computers. That's what Thomas Watson said, chairman of IBM in 1943. There is no reason anyone would want a computer in their home, said Ken Olson, president and chairman of Digital Equipment in 1977. This telephone has too many shortcomings to be seriously considered as a means of communication. The device is inherently of no value to us, said a memo in 1876. I'm just glad it'll be Clark Gable who's falling on his face and not Gary Cooper, is what Gary Cooper said on his decision not to make the leading role in the movie Gone with the Wind. Or, we don't like their sound, and guitar music is on the way out, said Decca Recording Company, rejecting the Beatles in 1962. Drill for oil? You mean drill into the ground to try and find oil? You're crazy, said drillers who Edwin Drake tried to enlist to participate in his project in 1859. Stocks have reached what looks like a permanently high plateau, said Irving Fisher, professor of economics at Yale University in 1929. Airplanes are interesting toys, but of no military value, said Marischal Ferdinand, a professor of strategy. Everything that can be invented has been invented, said Charles Duell, commissioner of U.S. Office of Patents in 1899. Looking back at all of these different quotes, we would say those are pretty foolish. Now, we might say there's just not a whole lot of wisdom that we see in statements like that. Of course, these people were taking the information that they had and their understanding of the world at that time and doing the best they could with it. But 2020 hindsight, we look back and we say, oh, not a whole lot of wisdom in those statements. And so tonight we're going to talk about the anatomy of the fool according to the book of Proverbs. And I'd like us to start by talking about the fool's heart and mind. We're going to start in chapter 1 and read verse 7, a verse that we looked at last week in sort of our introductory lesson on the Proverbs. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That's important that we realize that this all starts with one's understanding and posture toward God. It all begins with the fear of the Lord. But fools, we're told, despise wisdom and instruction. They don't want the teaching. They don't desire the wisdom. Now in chapter 10, verse 23, we read this. A fool finds pleasure in wicked schemes, but a person of understanding delights in wisdom. So we're told about a fool that they take pleasure in wicked schemes, doing things that we'd say are counter to God's desire. And then the contrasting way is a person of understanding who delights in wisdom. So we see this contrast in play. A fool finds pleasure in wickedness. And then 26 in verse 11. I love the imagery here. And if any of you have ever been dog owners, you've seen this play out, and it's rather gross. As a dog returns to its vomit, so fools repeat their folly. Again, what we're talking about is the fool's heart and mind. What I think we see here is that Fools don't learn from their mistakes, right? They continue to do the wrong thing over and over again. The fools repeat their folly, just like a dog returns to its vomit. Fools don't learn from their mistakes. And then chapter 28 and verse 26. 28 and 26. Those who trust in themselves are fools, but those who walk in wisdom are kept safe. So when I was in high school, my composition teacher, Mr. Miller, he was a great teacher. He kind of had that sort of sage presence about him. He seemed more like a college professor than he did a English and composition teacher at a small high school. But he had just this way about him that sort of you could see that the guy like lived in the books. You know what I mean? Just kind of had the sweater and everything to go with it. But he taught us something and called us to memorize this saying by Ralph Waldo Emerson. He loved Ralph Waldo Emerson, and he had us memorize this. Trust thyself. Every heart vibrates to that iron string. Right? I remember that. I was 16 or something. Trust thyself. Every heart vibrates to that iron string. I'm still not exactly sure what that means, but I like it, you know? But then you read in chapter 28, verse 26, and what we see here from the wisdom writer says, those who trust in themselves are fools. Sorry, Ralph Waldo Emerson. You had it wrong. It's about trusting in God, right? It's about having a life that is oriented in God's will, way, and purpose. And so what we see here is we kind of look at the anatomy of the fool. I think if we were to sort of whittle this down when it comes to the heart and the mind, is that fools are, first of all, their foundation is at the wrong place. Their foundation isn't in God's words, teachings, and ways. And more than that, fools are unteachable, right? Even the mistakes that they make should be teachable moments for them, yet they don't learn from those mistakes. And so we might use a word like pride, or a word like arrogance to talk about the fool. They don't have the fear of the Lord, and they're unteachable. Let's talk about the fool's ears. Chapter 12 and verse 15. The fool's ears. The way of fools seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice. I'm going to read that again. The way of fools seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice. I think the key word in this verse, at least in the NIV, is them. That first little stanza there. The way of fools seems right to them. Seems right as far as they're processing things. But then to contrast with those who are wise, they're willing to listen to advice, right? They're willing to take it in. And so I get this picture of the fool always wearing the headphones, right? Not willing to listen to people who may be more wise, may stand ready to offer them counsel. And so do I wear headphones all the time? Do you wear headphones all the time? Are you willing to listen to counsel? Chapter 18 and verse 2, continuing to talk about the fool's ears. Chapter 18 and verse 2, fools find no pleasure in understanding, but delight in airing their own opinions. Fools find no pleasure in understanding, but delight in airing their own opinions. To understand, you must first fill in the blank. To understand, you must first, starts with an L, listen, right? To understand, you must first listen. But apparently the fools don't listen. But what they do is they delight in airing their own opinions, right? They don't listen. They just openly air what's on their mind. Understanding requires listening, which fools don't do. Let's talk about the fool's tongue for a moment. Fool's tongue, chapter 12 and verse 16. The fool's tongue. So this, some of these verses might have stepped on my toes a little bit. Fools show their annoyance at once, but the prudent overlook an insult. Fools show their annoyance at once, but the prudent overlook an insult. So when you are annoyed, when something bugs you, when someone, probably more appropriately, bugs you, what do you do with that annoyance? Right? How do you process that annoyance? Fools show their annoyance at once, but the prudent overlook an insult. That just sounds wise. 14, verse 16. 14, 16. The wise fear the Lord and shun evil, but a fool is hot-headed and yet feels secure. You get the idea that something, the similar things going on in this passage that's going on in chapter 12, verse 16. This idea of being hot-headed, right? We might say short-fused, lacking in patience. When something goes wrong, when there's a disagreement, the fool is right there just pouncing on the other person, ready to air their opinion or to share their argument. Chapter 18 and verse 6. The lips of fools bring them strife, and their mouths invite a beating. The lips of fools bring them strife, and their mouths invite a beating. So I see it this way, sort of the fool is contentious. We might use this phrase, they don't think before they talk, right? They're just ready in the moment to share their thoughts, not thinking of the other person, not thinking of the other person's opinions or thoughts, but they're just ready to share it. And in doing so, they may be inviting a beating on themselves. Now, if someone, think of it like in a community here, if someone, sort of talking about their lips here, if they don't show wisdom in how they use their lips, don't beat them. Okay? Don't beat them. That's not the point of this proverb here. But you get the idea of what happens, to the fool because of the way in which they use their speech. Chapter 20 and verse 3. Chapter 20 and verse 3. It is one's honor to avoid strife, but every fool is quick to quarrel. But every fool is quick to quarrel. The way that I see that this is, again, sort of an unwillingness to listen, right? To hear someone else out. Instead, they may hear something that you disagree with, and just right away, you're ready to jump in and share your side of the story. This, again, and we talked about this last week, this is sort of common knowledge, common way in which to live. These aren't necessarily absolute across the board in any and every situation, but these are general wisdom sayings. So, is there a time to disagree with somebody? Is there a time to engage in some sort of argument? Absolutely. But so much of it has to do with your attitude. Are you demonstrating wisdom or foolishness in the way that you relate with others? And part of that is going to be determined by your desire, your willingness to listen. So I want to say something here. What I see And I've been guilty of this too. So I want to be careful how I enter this. What I have seen on Facebook when it comes to loaded issues is oftentimes an unwillingness to seriously engage in the thoughts and opinions of other people. And so what has happened is it's an opportunity just to throw out one idea, one thought, and never seriously take into consideration the thought or the opinion of someone else. Not saying that Facebook is bad. It's just, it's kind of cool because you get to sit there and sort of be a third party observer and just watch this whole thing play out. And that's one of the things that I've noticed from time to time. I'm likely guilty of that, as well. But for meaningful dialogue to take place, there must be a willingness on all parties, a willingness to listen and absorb the information of those to which you're interacting about some sort of issue. So I think you get the point there. Then chapter 29 and verse 11. This is the last proverb we'll look at. Fools give full vent to their rage, but the wise bring calm in the end. Fools give full vent to their rage, but the wise bring calm in the end. So there's been one sort of theme in this last section we've been looking at, the fool's speech, the fool's tongue, is this this problem of being sort of short-fused, quick-tempered. This short fuse, I think, has a lot to do with where one finds their value and worth. When one finds their value and their worth primarily through winning arguments and always having the right answer, here's my opinion on this, they will be disappointed and typically won't display a heart that's set after God's heart. When it's all about winning arguments and showing how much you know and trying to set the record straight, oftentimes that does not pave the way for meaningful, respectful dialogue with other people. So my question is, why is knowing sort of the anatomy of a fool a worthwhile thing to know? Just to be real straight here, the fool is set against God and his ways. That's what the wisdom writer says. The fool only lives for himself or herself. The fool misses opportunities to learn from others and to engage in meaningful dialogue with others. In a word, wisdom is a characteristic that enhances the health and vitality of a relationship, whereas foolishness sort of chips away at the health of relationships. So I realize, like, this is a Sunday night crowd, so I'm kind of preaching to the choir here, right? You are the wise ones in so many ways, and I mean that. I don't mean that in tongue-in-cheek. I really do mean that. The wisdom that is in this room right now is just outstanding. I understand that. So here's my sort of word to the choir when it comes to living in a wise way as opposed to living in a foolish way. Don't just keep that wisdom sort of bottled up. Share it with others, right? Within this church family, share your wisdom with other people. To those who are young in our congregation, whether that's in age or perhaps even in spiritual maturity, be willing to share that wisdom with others. Now, I don't mean by that. So on next Sunday after worship service, you see someone young stand out there and you just go over and talk to them and just start like letting the river of wisdom flow on them and drown them in your wisdom, right? Don't do that. But what about this? Someone that's younger, someone that's maybe younger, it's in sort of spirituality is concerned. I'd like to go to lunch with you sometime. Or why don't you why don't you come over sometime and spend some time with us? Or, you know, I've kind of noticed that you haven't been here quite as much lately. What's going on? Can we talk for a while? There are all kinds of creative ways in which you can share your wisdom with others. But here is the truth of the matter. Wisdom. This entire book of Proverbs, 31 chapters, is dedicated to the importance of wisdom. It is important. Seek it. Strive for it. As James 1 says, ask for it. And then share it with others. So that's kind of within the community of faith. Be willing to share it with others. We all watch the news. We know what's going on in our world. There is a lack of wisdom. The church understands where true wisdom comes from. And that wisdom needs to be shared with others. Don't, and my thoughts on this, don't shy away from opportunities to share the wisdom of God given to you in His grace and mercy with others. They need to see this wisdom. The church can be a gift to the world simply in sharing the wisdom of God with others. So you say, okay, how do you do that? Ask God. I don't know for sure, but don't shy away from opportunities to show it with coworkers. And it could be on Facebook. It could be with family and friends who maybe don't have a relationship with God. Again, out of the grace and wisdom of God, have this just bountiful amount of wisdom offered to us. Let's share that wisdom. Share that wisdom with others. Now, we'll continue talking about wisdom in the next several weeks. If anybody here tonight is ready to put Jesus on and baptism, we would just love to witness you do that and celebrate with you in that decision. If anybody here tonight is ready to put, I've already been through that. If anybody here is ready to, let me start over. If anybody here needs the prayers of the church family, we would be so glad to just hear what's going on in your life and pray with you and for you. We do seek to be a church family who bears one another's burdens. We're called to that, and it is a exciting, sometimes challenging journey, but we're in it together. So let's go ahead and stand and continue our time of worship.
Oh, to be like, oh, to be like the blessed Redeemer. This is my constant longing and prayer. Gladly I'll forfeit all of earth's treasures. Jesus, I